This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick.
And I'm Sarah Gonzalez. Todd and I are filling in together for John Hockenberry this week.
That's right. And we start in Washington at the top of this hour and back on the investigation into possible ties between the Trump campaign and Russia. On Monday, President Trump's advisor and son-in-law, Jared Kushner, agreed to testify before the Senate Intelligence Committee over his contacts with Russians, including a previously undisclosed meeting with the head of Russia's state-owned development bank during the 2016 campaign, while that bank was under U.S. sanctions. Other Trump campaign officials and associates, meanwhile, are being invited for now for questioning. We're not in subpoena territory yet. One longtime Trump ally says he's excited to testify. Roger Stone is the self-described political dirty trickster and longtime advisor to Donald Trump, and he's offered to appear before the House Intelligence Committee. Stone says he has nothing to hide about contacts with Russians or with the people who hacked the DNC or with WikiLeaks, who rocked the presidential campaign by releasing John Podesta's emails. The New York Times reports that the FBI is investigating Roger Stone for all of this, but Stone said the other day that he wanted to appear before Democrats on the committee so that he could, quote, spank them like children. I spoke with Roger Stone, who says that he's been in touch with the president recently, though he's not talking about the circumstances or the contents of those communications. Stone says he still hasn't been informed by the FBI that he's under investigation, but the FBI and members of the Intel committees are interested. Stone seemed to publicly predict the release of Podesta's email. Stone was also in touch with the alleged hacker, Guccifer 2.0. But Stone says that all of the claims are just a smear campaign and that his contact with Guccifer 2.0 happened after the hacks took place.
I've communicated with them because, of course, I'm a prolific writer of memos. I find that that's the most efficient way to communicate with the president. I worked for him for 30 years. But additionally, we have spoken, as I've said, from time to time by phone. I have not spoken to the president on the phone recently, but I have heard from the president recently.
You've heard from him in what manner?
I really am not going to characterize our personal communications, either the content or the quantity, because it's a good way to get them cut off. And this isn't about bragging and trying to be important in the current Washington, other than to say, we'll leave it there.
Okay. Well, Mr. Stone, of course, you have characterized in many places the ongoing investigations into possible Russian connections to the presidential campaign or possible collusion as bogus. I know that you still stand by that. Have you been informed by anyone in federal law enforcement, the FBI or the DOJ, that you are the subject of an investigation?
No, I haven't. I'm banking on the New York Times account. I'm also banking on the account that the story in The Smoking Gun has an attack on me in a long piece that contains information which revealed that I'd had some exchange with a hacker called Guccifer 2.0, who may or may not be a Russian asset. But what they don't tell you is that that communication comes after the hacking of which he is accused of, and I am accused in the same narrative of colluding with him, when in fact our exchange, which I have made entirely public by releasing the two screenshots, all of our public back and forth that anybody could read, and a limited number of personal exchanges, it's benign. It's certainly not collusion in any way, and it comes after the fact. So I would have needed a time machine to collude.
Mr. Stone, of course, you have offered voluntarily to go in front of the House Intelligence Committee to testify there voluntarily, so saying a subpoena is not necessary. Members of that committee, of course, will point out the many, many times in public and a couple of times before emails from John Podesta that were so important in the presidential campaign were released, and suggest that you had prior knowledge that Julian Assange and WikiLeaks would release them. You're going to be prepared to answer that question.
Yes. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at the facts, and we're going to look at exactly what I said. When a member of that body said, Stone said Podesta's emails would be released, I never said that anywhere in any forum.
You said that John Podesta would soon be in the barrel.
Yes, I did. Meaning his business activities, as Manafort's word, would be under public scrutiny. You notice I didn't hashtag WikiLeaks, hashtag Julian Assange. I'm sorry. It looks brilliant and it becomes true.
You've known and worked with Paul Manafort for many, many years, and there's a lot coming out now about his relationship with Viktor Yanukovych and his political consulting for Oleg Deripaska. Did you know back in 2005, 2006 about the business relationships that Mr. Manafort had with Deripaska and his advancing of Russian interests as reported by the AP?
No, I did not. I was entirely unaware that he had, in fact, had Russian clients, and I believe that somewhere I was quoted as saying that he did not, and I was incorrect. He had never mentioned it, and I had never heard about it. And in our, you know, circle of former partners, recognize this is long after a period in which Paul and I have been partners. I have no association with Yanukovych, but I was well aware of his work because for one cycle, I worked in Ukraine for a small splinter pro-Western, pro-U.S. splinter party from the Orange Revolution to help them get 20 seats in the Rada, which is their legislature, which is the minimum to be in the, you know, should be in the House. I was running against Manafort's candidate and Yanukovych. I was only there for one cycle. We were woefully underfunded, and we were not affiliated with Manafort's candidate's party of origins.
What political party did you work for then?
I worked for the party of Volodymyr Litvin, who would later become a speaker of the Rada.
Is there any concern that Americans should have that political operatives like Mr. Manafort, like you, were doing so much work for foreign politicians and then coming back and doing work for an American politician who became president? Is that an area of concern, do you think?
No, because the reason that they hire you in these foreign countries has nothing to do with your influence in the United States. It has to do with taking communications and organizational and other strategic techniques that we take for granted in this country abroad. When I was working for Litvin's party, I first advocated the yard sign to Ukrainian politics. Comrade, his genius put the name on sign, put it in the front yard. The genius. They loved it.
Mr. Stone, you know, I read a tweet from WikiLeaks. It says, Roger Stone continues to troll the media into increasing his profile by feeding false claims of contact with WikiLeaks. Now, quite apart from WikiLeaks, as somebody who's as experienced a political operator as you are and experienced in the media as you are, WikiLeaks kind of crows that you're trolling the media into increasing your profile. And I was hoping you could let us into the strategy a little bit.
WikiLeaks says they've never communicated with me through an intermediary. Well, if that's true, then I am completely innocent of the accusation that I could have known about Podesta's email or about the scope and plan and timing to drop their information, which, of course, those two things happen. Therefore, I'm either clairvoyant and a really good guesser, or what I told you is true. I know somebody who is a mutual friend of Assange who predicted to me in August that October would see the release of enormous amount of information on Hillary and the Clintons, and that it would include everything, which I took to mean specifically the emails that were deleted by Huma Abedin and Cheryl Mills. I don't have the firepower or the reach of, you know, the networks or even the cable news networks or some of the mega mainstream media outlets that are my critics. And therefore, yes, I have to be somewhat provocative to be able to even get a platform to make my point about a view regarding anything from the matter of history or what has happened in this bogus campaign in which I think it will yet be proven that there was no Russian collusion. There's one thing that is not in my bag of tricks, and that is treason. As a dirty trickster, I spot this as the biggest Democratic dirty trick of all. The evidence of Russian collusion is a Hillary Clinton campaign press release. It's a meme invented by Podesta for which there is no evidence.
And so you're looking forward, as you've said, to testimony in front of the Intelligence Committee, House or Senate, on Capitol Hill. And just to be clear, and for the record, Mr. Stone, you would answer all of their questions under oath the exact same way you answer them to media people like me.
By and large, yes. I mean, my lawyers may want to advise me otherwise, but I really have nothing to hide. And the sooner we can clear the air on this, we can get back to further exploring what other kind of surveillance may have been put on Donald Trump.
So, Mr. Stone, before we let you go, I know that you're itching to testify in front of the House Intelligence Committee. Have they invited you yet? Do you have a date? When is America going to hear from you under oath?
Well, I remember they just got the letter from my attorney last Friday. They did acknowledge receipt, but we have not heard from them. I also earlier, as the New York Times reported, had a letter asking me to preserve all documents pertaining to a Senate investigation. I welcome that also. Perfect example again, John McCain has now said on CNN that Roger Stone should be compelled to come before the Senate and say what he and explain his ties to the Russians. I have none. And his ties to Yanukovych. I have none. None.
Roger Stone, political advisor and author of The Making of the President 2016. Thanks for joining us once again.
Many thanks. And I don't know how quickly I'll be before Congress, but I have some time to think about what I'm going to wear.